This podcast is a Majestic Giraffe production. For more information and more content, visit majesticgiraffe.com.
But I was going into Toshi Station to pick up some power converters.
Shot Flats, you're listening to Toshi Station Radio, the bright center in the universe for all things Star Wars and geek culture. I'm your host, Brian, and with me, as always, is my co-host and wife, Nancy.
Hello.
On today's episode, we're talking about Star Wars Weekends, Harrison Ford's broken appendage, and looking ahead to some summer conventions. We're about to get started, so sit back, grab some power converters, and enjoy the show. Little note, look for a special episode of Toshi Station Radio in the feed, recorded live from Star Wars Weekends. We've got some additional bonus material that we couldn't quite fit into a regular episode. And no, this bonus material won't answer any of your Clone Wars questions either.
No.
No. Sorry.
We had some interviews with some of our friends, and we talked about news that's now not news anymore, but
we'll discuss it anyways, because we haven't had a chance to.
Yep.
I really should apologize for all of the gaps we've had in recording. I mean, I feel
like... It's Brian's fault.
It is my fault. I should just go down the list of things, just technological things, that have gotten in the way of us recording. First off, was it end of April?
I don't remember.
I think it was end of April.
Your laptop broke.
Yeah, our dog Mara decided to use...
Your laptop as a springboard.
Decided to use my laptop as a trampoline.
Someone hadn't closed it.
Uh-huh. So the display is finicky now. Sometimes it turns on. Most of the time it doesn't. And the keyboard is busted. So I need to get that fixed.
Nice.
Then I went and turned around and bought a Microsoft Surface Pro 2, which I was very happy with. I used it to record an episode. It was great. And then 2 weeks after I bought it, Microsoft announced the Surface Pro 3. So I sent that back.
Then you had to wait for the new one to come out.
I had to wait for the new one to come out.
Meanwhile, you had a loaner laptop.
Yeah, my dad was nice enough to give me a loaner laptop. Which then died. We recorded one episode with that.
And so since then, we've just been waiting for the new Surface, which we didn't know was going to get here on time.
Thank you, Best Buy. Ugh.
We were told June something or other, then August, and then finally they sent it to you when they were supposed to. So yay.
Hooray. Thank you.
So you have a computer in your possession.
I do have
a
computer in my possession.
You're not going to send it back?
No, I'm not going to send it back because I am very happy with this one. And if Microsoft announces a Surface Pro 4 2 weeks into my ownership of this, I'm going to be very surprised and very angry.
You're not. Well, whenever they do a Surface Pro 4, you're not going to get one.
Well, it's going to be well outside of my return window, so... The only reason we got this one was they announced it within the window I could return my Surface Pro to.
Yes.
But we are back. We have
a computer.
We have a computer. We are recording.
We have our recording equipment set up with said computer.
Yes, and we've got the mixer back, and the soundboard is even working. Isn't that right, James Earl Jones?
Totes my goats.
See? It's working.
Oh,
it's all working.
I can't hear it because
headphones only. I can hear this, and the folks in the chat can hear this if anyone is in the chat. Anyone in the chat?
In the chat.
Just us. Aww. Sad face. And remember, we usually live stream these podcast recordings,
Saturday afternoon.
It is Saturday afternoon. Everyone's out doing better things except for us. We went and got an oil change and bought Weed Killer.
It's not really exciting to talk about on a podcast.
No, it's really not.
Talk about our sponsors.
We should talk about our sponsors. Toshi Station Radio is brought to you in part by Audible.com. Listeners of this podcast can get a free audiobook by signing up for a free trial. Click the link on Tashi-Station.net for more details.
And we're also brought to you in part by Her Universe. Flaunt your world with Star Wars, Star Trek, Battlestar Galactica, Doctor Who, and now Marvel and Transformers, and other fandom-inspired wardrobe and jewelry. Click the link on our blog to purchase awesome geek gear and keep the lights running on the podcast.
We should talk about the Marvel thing, shouldn't we? Because that happened while we've got that in the show notes. That's right. Okay, it's been a while. Bear with us. And I guess on that note, it's time for what is new on the blog.
We've got a bunch of comic reviews, as usual, because it seems like that's the only thing that's coming out EU-wise. Bria reviewed Darth Maul, Son of Dathomir, number 2. And if you are unfamiliar with that comic, that's the comic that's supposed to finish his storyline from the Clone Wars based on what they were going to do with the show.
And this is some of the first fiction that is falling under the expanded, the new story group umbrella.
This is canon,
for,
I believe.
If that matters to you, yes, it is canon. It is slightly more real than the other fiction.
Than the other Star Wars with Luke Skywalker.
it's slightly more real. It's slightly less fictional. Yeah. There we go.
Bria also reviewed Legacy number 16, and she is very sad because I believe they're ending with number 20, and she is really liking the new series. We'll have to read that eventually.
Yeah, that sounds like it's an unfortunate casualty of the whole license switch and the whole Legends thing. Because this sounds like it was really Dark Horse at their best.
Yeah. And also Rebel Heist number 3. And Emily reviewed Serenity Leaves on the Wind number 6.
And she was not happy.
She was not happy at all. Really?
No. Apparently they pulled a Buffy season 8, if you've read those comics.
All I know about that is that Dom becomes a centaur.
Yeah.
Does someone become a centaur?
I don't know if someone becomes a centaur, but...
that's effed up.
Yep.
Okay. Bria also wrote an article.
A very handy article,
titled Conventions 101, and we'll be using that later on to kick off our convention coverage. And finally, while we did not produce this video clip content, we liked it so much, we linked to it on the blog and would like to highlight it here. It is a Guardians of the Galaxy / Star Wars mashup trailer. Basically, it's a trailer for Star Wars in the style of Guardians of the Galaxy, the last trailer with the Spirit in the Sky music, and it's pretty amazing.
I would watch that movie.
I would totally watch that movie. That was my first thought when the movie was over, why is this not a real thing? I mean, it is a real thing, because, I mean, Star Wars is real, but it made me want to see Guardians of the Galaxy a lot more.
Indeed. I'm really excited for Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes.
And it's a movie that looks so weird and can't possibly work, but it looks like so much fun.
Yes.
Again, these are how trailers should be cut up. But on that note...
You can waste time with your friends when your chores are done. Now, come on, get to it.
Fixer Slash, the geeky things we've been up to, and we actually have things for this segment for a change. That's been unusual for us the last couple of months.
Well, we went to Star Wars Weekends, which was 5 weekends full of Disney
fun.
5 hot,
sweaty weekends.
Yeah, I sweated like a Gamorrean while we were waiting for Mark Hamill. I don't think I've ever been as sweaty and gross as I was.
And then the people who just left the show got... The show before the Mark Hamill show got seats like 2 rows behind us.
Yeah, I was annoyed about that. But anyway, we talked about the first 3 weekends already, so we'll talk about the second, last 2. Steve Bloom was a guest the 5th week, and they showed a clip featuring Zeb, which was very cool. I think that ended up being my favorite one.
Yeah, I think that was my favorite clip they'd showed
it
the entire
Zeb
time.
It was basically messing with stormtroopers and taking out a big group of them by himself. And it was very fun, very kind of campy, like a lot, very good banter between Zeb and Kanan. I'm really looking forward to this show. The clips I've seen have been very good. Even the ones with Ezra, which I think Ezra might be kind of the, you know, the kitty, oh, shucks, kid.
Until they do some character growth, he strikes me as going to be very season one, season two Ahsoka.
Yes. But I, you know, it was kind of fun. He basically screwed with a TIE fighter pilot and stole some stuff from the TIE fighter, which was really cool. But Zeb was, you know, Zeb seems like he's going to be fun to watch. But the big highlight for the last two weekends was weekend four, featured Mark Hamill. And we went to two of his shows, the Saturday and the Sunday one, and they were fantastic. Like, if you get a chance to see Mark Hamill at a convention, you really should go. And I'm not just saying this because I love Luke Skywalker.
He is one of the most entertaining convention personalities you will ever
see. He's really funny. He talks nonstop. Which is why he needs a host like James Arnold Taylor to reel him in.
It's a workout for poor James Arnold Taylor to keep Mark Hamill on track.
And the best part is, Mark Hamill doesn't get a lot of the Star Wars references. And he knows it. So he said something about the Tauntaun, but he didn't say the right name. And later on he goes, by the way, I know it was a Tauntaun. I was just messing with you. Because he's done that at Celebration where he said he called it the land crawler, and everyone yelled out sand crawler, and he went whoa. he recoiled from the audience
and
horror.
After all these years he's still calling it a ray gun.
A pew pew gun, and he admits he would not know any of the names if his son wasn't a huge Star Wars fan. Basically Nathan Hamill has taught his dad everything to know about Star Wars. And I believe we were talking because we were saying, someone was asking, does Luke know about Mara? And I said, yes, he does, because I've read in an interview where Mark was talking about how Nathan told him all about what happens after the books. And he says, Dad, you're married to a really hot chick. And he's like, why didn't that happen in the movies? And he mentioned something during his talk about how there should be more women in Star Wars. And he, you know, would ask George when Luke was going to get a girlfriend. So not only does Mark Hamill think there needs to be more women in Star Wars, but he thinks that Luke should be paired off. And I agree with that.
Listen to Mark.
I think he knows his character.
Listen to Mark.
He knows the character. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was a crazy, crazy weekend, but I'm really glad we got to see him, and I really hope he comes back next year.
I mean, I guess we can also use this to just do some more highlights from Star Wars Week, because we've touched on some of the other stuff we did in some previous episodes, but it's worth going down again, because it was a really, really fun event. Mm-hmm. I'm really happy they expanded it out to 5 weeks. For me, my surprise favorite guest was Cliff Clavin himself.
No, that was not a surprise favorite guest. You knew, you were excited about him.
I knew I was going to get some Cheers references. I was enjoying that, but he was really, really, I did not expect him to be actually that funny.
He was very funny, and they put together.
The AV team deserves all the credit in the world for how much
fun that show was. They put together some really funny clips of mashups with Star Wars and Pixar. They did the Abominable Snowman from Monsters,
Welcome
Inc.
Welcome to the Himalayas!
Yeah, they put that in the Hoth scene, and it was great.
And then they did a really long Cliff monologue with Leia looking forlorn at the hangar door closing.
Yeah, oh, it was very funny. What else did they... Oh, Clone Wars guys had fun.
Oh, the reunion show was so much fun.
We were going to go back and see it again on Sunday, but it was so hot we left. But they had Stars of the Saga the last weekend, and all of the guests were from Clone Wars. It was it was Kat Tabor, Dee Bradley Baker, Tom Kane, and Matt Lanter. And then Steve Bloom was the Rebels guest. So they had all four of them. They brought Ashley to be part of Stars of the Saga as well. And, you know, James was a host, obviously. So it was the six of them who are basically the main cast of Clone Wars. And it was really fun. They ran out into the audience and took selfies and were just riffing on each other. It was pretty good. So, yeah, they're a lot of fun. And I hope at Celebration 7 they have some stuff with Clone Wars.
Clone maybe Wars bring cast some of them reunion. Back. Yeah. Get them all up on stage. Because if we were having this much fun with just a 30, 40-minute show at Star Wars Weekends, imagine what they could do with an hour.
Yeah, and like I really hope they have... I'm sure they'd have Rebels stuff. But having a panel like that with the Rebels cast, because they seem like they get along.
Well, we saw everybody in the main cast except for Freddie Prinze Jr.
Yeah, and they had a video that they had made that they showed with them like recording and introducing themselves in the studio. And it seems like they all get along pretty well. So hopefully they'll bring them together for a show.
Going back a bit, Steve Bloom, by the way, mm-hmm. is really funny. Delightful.
Yeah.
Really, really funny.
I think
funny.
That might be the reason why that's my favorite clip is just because Steve Bloom seemed really funny.
Yeah, but...
I think the only clip I didn't see was the one with Sabine, because I had to leave early that day. So I didn't get to see that one. I think we've seen part of the clip
Yeah, we've
before.
Seen part of that clip.
Yeah.
I kind of wish they'd used a different clip, because you didn't really get to see a whole lot of Sabine in that one.
Mm. But the one with Hera was really cool.
Oh, the Hera one was
And the
great.
One with Hera had a lot of Kanan in it, too, and Chopper. Which Chopper is pretty hilarious.
I have a feeling we're really going to enjoy just seeing Kanan, Chopper, and Hera interacting in this show.
And they had a fun video that they showed. Dave Filoni did a tour of like the production studio. And Chopper comes out of the room and runs into R2-D2. And they have a little conversation where R2's like, "What's that?" And Chopper goes, "Oh, storage unit for has-been Astromechs." And R2 goes, "Oh, that explains where they got you." And I'm like,
oh,
that's funny.
Droid humor. I like droid humor.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you just posted, or someone just posted in the chat that Hera clip might have sold them on the John Jackson Miller book.
Yeah, because the John Jackson Miller book, I think, is going to be a lot of Hera
I was going to read it anyways, just because I really like John Jackson Miller. But now that I've seen these clips and seen just Hera, I want to read this book.
Yeah, well, I'm assuming the two main characters in the book are Hera and Kanan.
Yeah, that one,
and
based
shows
on
how
the cover.
They, you know, get together. And not, I don't mean that in a romantic sense, but in a, you know, crew
how they,
sense.
How they wound up getting into the Han and Chewie situation.
But it does seem from the clip that they showed that there is a little bit of a romance going on, which was kind of cute. I mean, it was kind of cute.
It was, but I would be okay if the entire series that was never addressed.
Yeah, I mean, it was nice because it was just like they're focusing on Chopper. Chopper comes back into the cockpit and Hera, like Kanan's kind of leaning toward Hera and it looks like they might kiss. And then they both look over at Chopper and are like, "Oh yeah, thanks Chopper," you know? So it's like kind of like the Han and Leia thing, except he wasn't actually interrupting them and they weren't frustrated afterwards. But yeah, I mean, it'd be cool if like they're together, but it's just kind of something that's never addressed. It just is, you know, because I don't think we've really had that in Star Wars. Like mostly
I don't know if you have that in any media. Mm-hmm. It's not a very normal thing to portray, even though it would be really nice to see.
Yeah, like a couple working together where their, you know, relationship isn't a focus. Like, I'm thinking of Luke and Mara in Survivor's Quest, where they're together, they're working together as a team, and, like, their relationship isn't really ever addressed because it just is, and there's no drama as, you know, they're having fights or anything. Like, it seems like a cool, you know, relationship to touch on, so we'll see.
It looks like there's an interesting dynamic there, and I do hope that they can do something cool with it.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, you know, we haven't talked about the most important thing that happened at Star Wars Weekends.
Men in tights.
Men in tights. Would you care to describe this one?
So, if you, for those of you who are unaware, Ashley Eckstein is married to a man named David Eckstein, who is a former Major League Baseball player. And
only on a Star Wars podcast do we have to describe it this way.
So David is very supportive of her universe. He is retired now. So he basically comes with Ashley to all of the conventions and, you know, works in the booth and does all that, you know, stuff to support her universe. He's like an employee, basically. So the first weekend, he said something about wearing the new Imperial leggings. And it was a joke, you know, whatever. And our friend Savannah, who was working at the booth all five weekends, decided that she was going to make this an actual thing. So Savannah set out to recruit as many guys as she could to buy her universe leggings. And then the last weekend, they were going to all get together and take a photo with the leggings. So Savannah recruited, I'd say, about 20 guys to buy the leggings, and Brian was...
I happened to be in the shop that
was
day.
Was personally recruited by David Eckstein, and when a former Major League Baseball player asks you to wear tights, you say yes. So
there is now photographic evidence of me and former World Series MVP David Eckstein wearing tights.
Yes. So the last day of Star Wars Weekends, they all got together, took a picture. Ashley came into the shop, so we got a picture of all the guys with Ashley. Ashley was also wearing the leggings. And not only were you wearing the tights, but you also had special hats made for you by one of the 501st guys. Robin Hood type hats with a feather and the Imperial logo on them. It was pretty, pretty damn funny.
What can you say? When something like that happens, just go with the flow. Have fun with it.
And the guys were actually wearing leggings all day long. Brian did not, because it was really hot.
Because I am a Seattle boy, and it was hot before I put those on.
Well, also, in your defense, I made you buy the smallest pair of leggings that you could squeeze yourself into, because I wanted to wear them afterwards. Because if we were going to be spending $30 on leggings, I wanted to get use out of them.
We discovered then that
you can squeeze yourself into the large, and there's enough stretch on them that I can wear them without them being baggy.
So you heard it here first. The co-hosts wear the same size leggings.
So that goes to show you, they're very stretchy.
They are very stretchy. They are. And you know what? They were actually kind of comfortable.
They are comfortable.
The more you know.
So yes, that happened.
Yes. Men in tights at Star Wars Weekends. Maybe it'll happen next year.
Maybe.
Maybe.
She'll have to do another pair of leggings.
Well, I think she has to now.
Yep.
Yeah, that was Star Wars Weekends. We had a great time.
It did. I'm kind of glad it's over now, though.
I really enjoy Star Wars Weekends, but I kind of like having my weekends back to do things around the house that need to be done.
Yeah.
Outside of Star Wars Weekends, we finally went and saw X-Men Days of Future
Past.
My quick review, I love it because it retconned the third X-Men movie out of existence.
Yes. I loved it because it was X-Men. And I liked it.
And Hugh Jackman's ass.
I was not going to cite that as a reason, but it was an asset.
That's the word we're going to use here. Okay.
It's an asset to the film.
Hugh Jackman's ass was an asset to the film. Yeah. Okay.
Although James McAvoy was probably my favorite.
I think he stole the movie.
Yeah, he was really good.
I mean, he was good in the last one.
Him, Hugh Jackman, and Michael Fassbender are just so good. I don't think I liked Michael Fassbender as much in this movie, but because I didn't like Magneto as much in this movie. Because I just want to throttle him. Like, in the first movie, it was a lot more understandable as to why Magneto was the way he was. And, like, he was trying to be good, but he saw things a completely different way. And it was completely understandable. In this movie, like, it gets to the point where you're like, okay, Magneto, just stop it. You're being stupid, and you know you're being stupid, but you're just being stubborn now. So I think I've gotten to the point now where I want to punch him, and not in a loving way.
I think a lot of people just wanted to punch Magneto. Yeah.
But I thought everyone else was pretty much good in the movie.
But really, James McAvoy was great in the first one.
Yeah.
He just runs away with it.
Yeah.
In this one.
I would really, though, and in the spoilers for the movie, but there's, you know, the old scenes with older Xavier and older Magneto, and they're, you know, obviously working together. When Hugh Jackman, after he finishes his whole time travel thing and wakes up in his future body, which is in the new reality, there's a Professor X at the mansion, but Magneto is nowhere to be seen. So I kind of want them to do movies still in that timeline, because I want to see how the things changed, you know, after Days of Future Past. Because, what parts of the first X-Men happened? What parts of the second one happened? Like, did Xavier and Magneto become friends and work together? Or is Magneto not there because he's dead? Or what? So I'm like, I want McAvoy, Xavier, and Fassbender, Magneto to become best buds again.
I want a buddy cop movie with those two.
I just want them to become friends again. I want them to reconcile, but I don't know if that'll ever happen. So
maybe in the third movie we'll get that.
I don't.
Maybe.
Yeah, we'll see.
But yeah, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it an awful lot.
Uh-huh.
We were culturing ourselves up by viewing Into the Woods on Netflix.
Yes, Into the Woods is a Broadway musical with music by Stephen Sondheim.
Which means it's great.
Yeah, and they are making a movie of it now. It's coming out on Christmas, and there's a lot of talk recently because of scenes that may or may not have been cut from the movie. So I was reading all about it, and I realized I didn't really remember much of the story because I'd seen it in high school. So I saw it was on Netflix, and I decided that we were going to watch it. So we did, and it was good. It's not my favorite musical. The music is very Stephen Sondheim. It's not like, you know,
Stephen Sondheim has a very, all of his music is very linked and interconnected.
Yeah. There's no songs, like, there's no, like, show-stopping songs that will be played on the radio.
It all follows a theme that the music follows a theme that moves from A to B, and it's all the same sort of stuff with variations in it, but there's not defined song, defined song, defined song.
Although Agony is pretty hilarious.
Yeah, I can't wait to see Chris Pine do that.
Yeah, Chris Pine is in Into the Woods.
And just
we'll
like
be singing.
And just like that, half the Tosche Station audience now wants to go see Into the Woods. We don't blame you.
Well, Meryl Streep is in it, playing the witch, which is going to be fantastic. So,
although they could have gotten Bernadette Peters to do it again.
They could have, but
kind of disappointed they didn't, because that'd be great to have a revisit.
Yeah.
Oh well.
And also, it's the World Cup.
Woo! World Cup. My heart still is going a mile a minute from the last two matches.
Yes, if you're not watching the World Cup, you should be, because it's fun and exciting. And while it may not be super geeky, you haven't ever watched Brian watch soccer. Because you make it very geeky.
I make it very geeky
because
to explain.
Because you know all the stats, and you have all, you know, you try to figure out all the strategy of where the coach is playing who, and all that stuff.
I tweeted, now would be the time for Jurgen Klinsmann to bring on DeAndre Yedlin in about the 60th minute to just scream up and down the right flank. 2 minutes later, it happens, and I get a bunch of people responding back to me. Are you a psychic? No, it's just strategy. It's strategy.
So, yep, that's what we've been up to. Fun times.
Fun times. You know, we have stuff for this segment when we take 3 weeks off.
I know, right?
Fun. Funny how that works.
Yep.
But no, we're not going to take 3 weeks off again.
No.
We'll be back next week with another show and the week after, and then we take a break for our honeymoon.
What? What? We're not allowed to do that.
I know, right?
So, shall we head into Deke's Dirt?
We should head into Deke's Dirt. Flemming and the Flim Flam, Deke's Dirt news and rumors from around fandom. And as we talked about earlier,
we should probably take out the rumors part of that, though, because we have a new segment.
We do have a new segment.
Okay.
So we're going to take out the rumors from our show notes. Just news from around fandom. We're starting with a bit of Her Universe news. As you have probably seen, Her Universe has debuted two new lines. One is Transformers.
Yes.
And the other, which many people were very, very, very excited about, Her Universe snagged Marvel.
Woo! And they have very, very, very cute outfits, clothes. They've got a Captain America cardigan,
although apparently a number of sizes have sold out, so they're waiting to come back in stock.
That's not surprising, sadly.
I think you and I saw that one and said that's going to be one of the first to sell out.
Yeah, it's adorable. They've got a Captain America hooded tank. They've got a Captain America dress. They've got a shield or a shield shirt that glows in the dark and becomes the Hydra logo.
Very clever.
Avengers tank. Avenger.
Oh, the Hydra tank is sold out too.
Avengers leggings, Captain America jersey shirt, comic style tank
a
tops.
Ms. Marvel classic print tank and a Rogue classic print.
Yeah. And then there's also a Shield tee with the Hydra logo that glows in the dark in a plus size. So very
and
cool.
And what isn't on the store yet are two products that are shown in the preview.
Yeah,
on the
there's
banner.
two dresses, it looks like, with one of them has all the Avengers logos on the skirt, and the other one seems to be more of a black and white print. I can't really tell what it is though, but it looks really, really cool. And there's also a Black Widow hoodie that's not on the main site yet, but it is on the Hot Topic website, apparently.
That is going to be a very popular seller.
Yes, so if you want to get it early, go to Hot Topic and search for Her Universe or Black Widow. It's really cool. It's a zip-up jacket. And it doesn't have a hood, but it's very, very
now, cool. Ashley, if you were listening, there is one product that I guarantee will be gangbusters.
What's that?
If you come out with a Captain Marvel shirt or costume dress or costume tank, that'll be a huge seller with the Carol Corps.
I would wear that. I would definitely.
It's one of the neatest costumes Marvel
I've actually,
has in their repertoire right
if
now.
If I was going to do a comic costume, I would probably
Captain
Marvel.
It's a really neat costume.
Yeah. And I haven't even read Captain Marvel, and I'm saying that just because
you know,
I like
the
costume.
I do have
the
first 12 issues.
I know you do.
You should read them. They're great.
Oh, apparently the Marvel Her Universe dress is on Hot Topic as well now.
Oh, what's it going for?
Let's see.
Exciting.
Marvel Her
exciting
Universe
stuff.
Heroes print dress is $27.60.
That's not bad.
It's really cute. It's really, 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 really cute. It's got like all of the comic heroes, like Spider-Man, Captain America, Hulk. Trying to see who else I can see. Wolverine. Yeah, that's really cute.
Might have to get that one.
Yeah. I kind of like the other one, though, because I think I could get away with the other one wearing to work. What?
Nothing.
I thought you were
pause.
Pointing at my microphone. Like, what did I do wrong?
No,
now?
Nothing okay. at all.
All right, I'm gonna stop shopping now and podcast.
And Nut in the chat is very excited. The Black Widow, hoodie is available.
I'll put that link in there.
Link in the chat. Yep. And yes, very exciting new stuff from Her Universe. And we want to wish the Star Wars Insider, the Star Wars magazine, congratulations on celebrating their 150th issue.
Yes. Very cool.
Very cool stuff.
And also Club Jade celebrated the 10th anniversary of their blog this month.
Can you imagine doing this blog and podcast for 10 years?
No. Now, the Club Jade,
Club Jade predates the blog by a very really good margin.
Long. I think the precursor to Club Jade formed in like 95.
It was a news group, wasn't it? Yeah. Formed in 95, mm-hmm. 96, somewhere in there.
But it was different groups, and then they came together and became Club Jade. I know there was the Star Ladies and the Wild Cards. So, yeah.
A bit of fandom history for you. Congratulations, Club Jade, on 10 years with the blog, and here's to another 10 years more.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And we found out that the George Lucas Museum will be heading to Chicago. This is not a Star Wars museum, as people have been saying. It's all about George Lucas, so there will be Star Wars stuff in there probably, but... sounds like a neat thing to go visit if you are in Chicago. I don't know if I'd make a special trip there, but I'd probably include it as part of a bigger trip. In news that will delight Expanded Universe fans, because now it means they no longer have to hear questions asked about this game at every panel, a Battlefront 3 trailer was shown at E3 Expo.
Battlefront is coming back. Stop asking it unrelated panels. Thank you.
I didn't watch the trailer, did you?
I did watch the trailer. They didn't actually show off a whole lot of gameplay, but they showed off that, yes, it's coming. Stop asking.
That's cool.
Also, no, Karen Travis still isn't coming back.
No.
No.
She's not.
Nope. We got some shuffling release dates on the print front. Heir to the Jedi is being pushed back by about a month to February 17th, and Lords of the Sith is April 21st.
Yeah, boo.
I know. Nancy was supposed to get Heir to the Jedi around her birthday.
Yeah, I'm sad.
Aw. But, you know, we do get the advanced copies.
I hope so. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, smile, Del Rey.
Just some changes there. And we've also got some news on the film front. Josh Trank will be directing the second standalone film. Josh Trank, the director of Chronicle, which was which might be the only found footage film I like.
Really?
It was a lot of fun. It's a superhero origins film done right.
Huh. Cool. And also, we found out that Rian Johnson, who directed Looper, will probably be directing episode 7 writing a treatment for episode 9.
We're treating this as news because it hasn't been confirmed by the Lucasfilm camp yet, but Johnson's... Johnson's publicist or agent.
His rep confirmed it. And pretty much all of the trades are reporting it as fact.
The actual trades.
Yeah. So, and Rian Johnson seemed to confirm it in a tweet. So,
yeah. What was that tweet again?
It was the astronaut. It was a YouTube clip from the Right Stuff, The Astronaut's Prayer, which, if you are not familiar with The Astronaut's Prayer, it is, "Dear God, please don't let me fuck up." Coined by Alan Shepard on his first flight.
So not confirmed by Lucasfilm yet, but all the trades have it. Johnson seems to have confirmed it. Johnson was responsible for Looper, as you said. He's also done a couple more indie films that are really well regarded. He's got a great ability with characters, and I think he's a good choice for episode 8.
Yeah.
The center film.
Yeah. I like this because if they keep him for episode 8,
mm-hmm.
I hope that they get a new director for episode 9 because I like the idea of having different directors for each film.
That is currently how it seems to be. They're structuring it.
Yeah.
it seems like he'll direct, write a treatment for episode 9, and someone else will come in and finish it off. I kind of like this. It's going to be J.J. Abrams starting things off, and I love the concepts J.J. Abrams puts together. Sometimes he has issues finishing films, but in this case, he gets to kick something off, do the world building, hand it off to someone who's a great character person, then they can hand it off again to someone who can wrap everything up. It would be a neat way to do it.
Yeah.
Rian Johnson, very excited. Go check out some of his films, although you might have to go buy them off of Amazon because I don't think they're available on Netflix, which is annoying.
Aww.
Boo. And moving on.
Found anything yet? Nothing yet, sir. How about you? Not a thing, sir. What about you guys? We ain't found shit.
It's Biggs bullshite.
And Mara's awake now.
Mara's awake. Episode 7, rumors and speculation. What are we starting off with?
Well, we've got a lot of rumors that have come out lately. It seems like every day there's a new rumor. The one I want to address regarding the plot, mainly because I think it's stupid, is that Episode 7 is basically going to be the search for Luke, in which Luke is a hermit and Han is searching for him. And there are many things about this which don't make sense, mainly that it assumes that Daisy Ridley's character has been living on Tatooine for a long time, in which I say, why? And why is Luke a hermit? Because shouldn't he be, like,
off rebuilding a Jedi Order or something?
Yeah, one would think, like, finding new Jedi to train. I mean, the only way I would accept Luke becoming a hermit is if it's because his wife has passed away. And his son is trying to knock some sense into him. But even then, I think that was stupid.
His redheaded son?
Yep.
Okay.
Because I don't think... Luke was doing that in stupid Legacy of the Force, where he was all like, oh, I feel depressed and I want to die. And Ben was like, stop it. And finally he got sense knocked into
him. And how well did that work in Legacy of the Force?
Didn't. Nope. So I think that idea is kind of stupid, but it seems like we have a new plot rumor every day. And I don't care about rumors anymore. Like, I don't remember during the prequels hearing a lot about rumors with the plot. But I remember being really annoyed when rumors came out and people treated them as fact. I think it's even more exacerbated now because it seems like you hear one every day and then everyone treats it as fact.
And you really can't trust it now because JJ and his mystery box.
Yeah.
He's probably got a department devoted
entirely. Spreading misinformation.
Yes, to misleading the press.
But reminder, nothing is confirmed pretty much until you see the movie.
Even then, they might not confirm it until six months after.
Yeah. I'll be satisfied that I know the basic plot of the film when the opening crawl leaks a few months before the movie comes out or a few weeks before the movie comes out.
Agreed.
And that's pretty much it. Or we see a trailer that shows some of the plot of the film. I would like to know the plot of the film, though. Just random aside. Like, I'd like to know what it's about.
I'd like a general
synopsis. I'd like
synopsis.
To know what characters people are playing. But apparently, that's too much to ask.
Sigh.
But the big rumor that we want to talk about... And we put it as a rumor because you can't get a straight answer about this.
How could we not get a straight answer about this?
About the saga of Harrison Ford's broken appendage.
Is it an ankle? Is it a leg? Is it both? Who knows?
Well, first of all, the reports were that he broke his ankle. And the rumor was... The story going around was that he broke his ankle while filming on the set of the Millennium Falcon. So, of course, people thought that was hilarious because we know he didn't really want to do this movie. We know he probably had to be convinced. And then, boom, the Millennium Falcon tries to kill him. He's probably, I'm too old for this shit.
I'm too old for this shit.
Yeah. Lucasfilm confirmed that he had been injured, but said shooting would continue while he recuperates. Okay, whatever. People get injured while filming. Big deal. Then Harrison Ford's publicist said that he had broken his leg and had surgery.
Okay, that's a lot different than what Lucasfilm confirmed.
Leg is not an ankle. And surgery is kind of a big deal. They also said that despite the previous reports, the accident involved a door, not the Millennium Falcon ramp. But Lucasfilm did not say anything about that. Then the rumor started flying that his recovery is going to take a lot longer than originally thought. It's going to be about 6 months. They're going to reschedule shooting. They've been having meetings at Pinewood to discuss how they're going to reschedule everything. And that the release date will be moved. Apparently, Lucasfilm PR released a statement to TFN saying that the release date was not going to be changed. There would be no delay. But rumors are persisting that J.J. Abrams and Kathleen Kennedy want to move the release date to May 4th, 2016, while Bob Iger, CEO of Disney, says, no, we promised a movie for 2015. We moved it back to December. That's all you're getting. So there's a lot of presumptions in this rumor that one, Harrison Ford's role is big enough that they would have to reschedule shooting and delay the film release. And two, that they can't shoot around it. I have a really hard time thinking they can't shoot around it. And that his role is that big. And I think that's why everyone's coming out with all the rumors now about the plot of the film. Because if he does have a role that big, then... I just have a really hard time thinking.
I got $5 that it started with 6 month recovery time for a broken leg, which is, you know, entirely accurate. That's what it's going to take to recover from a broken leg. And then they jumped from that to, well, they're going to have to delay because condition XYZ, which may or may not be true. They're just taking the 6 month thing and...
Yeah.
Extrapolating from there.
I mean, I just have a hard time believing that his role is that important. Like, I can see them having to reschedule his shooting, especially if it's, you know, he has a more physical role. But, I mean, if any of the big three have that big of a part where they have to delay the film for them, then... I think I'm going to have major issues with the movie.
Yeah, I have a hard time seeing that a 6 month recovery is going to be disaster for this film, like, for any of those three.
Yeah, I mean, and it doesn't gel with previous rumors, which was that, like, I remember thinking, like, what was the Michael Art rumor that which treatment had the big three in it more?
Supposedly Arndt had it in less, and the Kasdan Abrams treatment had them in more.
Ugh. Yeah, and then there's a whole rumor that Harrison Ford is like has the biggest part of the big three, and that just doesn't make sense to me, because why him? Like,
the one who wants to be there the least.
Well, and plus, if you go from Return of the Jedi, it makes the least sense. Like, if you extrapolate from that, you would think, okay, Luke's got to go rebuild the Jedi Order. Leia's probably going to help him, but also help the Rebellion, because that's her job. Han is probably going to stay in the Rebellion, because he's a general now. I mean...
Han will be a glorified consultant.
But, I mean, it's basically, like... disregarding the EU, if you've just seen Return of the Jedi...
It's kind of hard to extrapolate all this from what you saw in Jedi.
Yeah, I mean, basically, you have a logical progression of these characters. And I can't understand why Han would have the biggest role unless there's a lot more fighting going on. Which still, if there is fighting going on, wouldn't Luke also have a huge role? Because, rebuilding Jedi Order.
They very well could. But you know what? Maybe Harrison Ford did have the most action sequences because he's Harrison Ford, which would necessitate a bunch of changing up to the shoot order. But that doesn't necessarily mean he's got the biggest role in the film. It just means he's got a number of action sequences.
He could just have one action sequence where he has to run down the Millennium Falcon ramp.
One of those action sequences that takes a couple weeks of shooting, just running through corridors and firing blasters just to get all the shots and angles so they can be edited right.
Yeah, so basically...
And if that's an important part, well then, you're going to have to shift stuff around to wait till he heals up.
Yeah. So basically, it's really... it's odd that they haven't said anything more about this other than, yes, he broke his ankle, which they haven't even said anything about him breaking his leg. They haven't said anything about...
That is so weird.
Like... I can kind of understand them not telling us anything about who the actors are playing or what the plot's going to be, but this is just like a fact. He either broke his ankle or he broke his leg.
You gain nothing from secrecy over whether or not he broke his ankle or leg.
Yes, Harrison Ford broke his leg, and yes, we're rescheduling the shooting, but no, the film will not be delayed. Like, I don't understand how that's telling us so much. But whatever. I don't obviously know anything about filmmaking.
Yep, I don't know.
We'll return next week with more saga of Harrison Ford's broken appendage.
I feel like I need a bumper for this.
You do.
I need a bumper for this. Someone can come up with a bumper. Let me know. That'd be great for this segment. The newest segment, Harrison Ford's appendage. And moving on.
I am not a committee!
It's Cammy's Concerns, the discussion topic for the week. And as we are well into summer, it is time for convention season.
Woo!
Woo! Convention season, that great, wonderful time where everyone sits in lines, hopefully in an air-conditioned building.
Yeah.
To get into panel rooms.
Not like Star Wars weekends.
No. To get into panel rooms, to see celebrities, to see announcements of stuff and things, to see fan-run stuff. And convention season really kicks off in a big way. There's some smaller conventions going on around the side, but the big start is San Diego Comic-Con.
Yep, San Diego Comic-Con happens in July.
Or as I like to call it, Press Junket Con.
Yep, it's pretty much where all the industry people go to hype up their new shows, new seasons, new movies. They have panels for everything. Most of the Marvel films have had big announcements there.
We found out about Winter Soldier, Guardians of the Galaxy at San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll find out some more information about Avengers 2, more of the third stage of the Marvel movies, maybe some stuff about DC's movie and...
Yes, Batman versus Superman. Ugh.
Yes. Will there be Star Wars news at San Diego Comic-Con?
If there is going to be Star Wars news coming out of a convention this year, it's going to be at San Diego Comic-Con.
What?
I know.
Yeah. There will probably be Star Wars news. I don't know if there will be Episode 7 news. I wouldn't expect like a teaser or anything. They might talk about filming or whatever.
But like if these rumors that Macy Richardson Sellers is in the film, that's probably where it'll get announced.
Yeah.
Rebels will probably be the talking point of the day as far as Star Wars goes.
Rebels panel, some clips from Rebels.
They'll probably get the whole cast there.
They will probably have some book announcements. Del Rey usually does a panel there. I could see them coming up with more announcements.
They'll probably flesh out the 2015 calendar.
Yep.
Either at this one or at New York Comic Con, which we'll get to.
Yeah.
Probably San Diego Comic Con.
Yeah. So yeah, San Diego Comic Con is a lot of news. It's
less programming, more news.
Yeah. Well, the programming is the news, basically.
Yeah, pretty
the
much, yeah.
Yeah. News programming news. Then in end of August is Dragon Con.
Our personal favorite of the conventions.
Yeah. Well, besides Celebration.
That's special.
Dragon Con is Labor Day weekend in Atlanta. It is the special thing about Dragon Con. It's by the fans, for the fans. It's an entirely fan-run convention. The convention is divided into tracks, which are basically your different interests, and the tracks all have their own programming. There's main programming as well, but it's basically all volunteers, fans do the convention, and it's really fun. This is not a convention where news comes out of, unless a celebrity says something at a panel. But it's not where you're going to go to find out stuff about the latest movie.
Yeah, I mean, I think the most exciting piece of news I can remember from Dragon Con is that Eddie Olmos was going to be on an episode of Portlandia.
Yeah, so it's like, it's that kind of stuff. But, you know, you'll have panels where you'll have cast reunions.
Like if you go to the Firefly panel, you'll get like Adam Baldwin, Jewel Stite, Mahler, and then Nathan Fillion calls them all on their cell phones.
They've got like, you know, and they've got like stuff that's out now, like Doctor Who. So they'll like talk about the new season and like that sort of thing. The Star Wars track is great. It's run by Brandy and lots of volunteers helping her out.
For my money, it is the best Star Wars programming short of Celebration.
Yeah. It's they've got a lot of cool panels, and they've got something for everyone. They've got collecting panels, costuming panels, EU panels. They've got panels. They have a preliminary schedule out now for this year, and they've got stuff about Rebels and Episode 7. So
it's worth going to for no other reason than to go to the author's panel.
Yeah. So if you are just interested in hearing what's new with Star Wars, and I imagine the last year it seemed like there was a lot more people at the Star Wars track room because of the Lucasfilm buyout. It was the first Dragon Con since that had happened. So with the new movies coming out, I assume there's going to be a lot of people interested in stuff about Rebels, stuff about Episode 7. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Hey, Dragon Con guys, if you want to get the Star Wars track panel into one of those really nice rooms at the front end of the Marriott, it'd be great.
Well, I
like the room they're in now.
The rooms they have now, I think, are some of the biggest rooms that they have, actually.
Mm-hmm.
It's in that crunch point. Like, the other rooms are, like, pretty much the ballrooms, and you're not going to get that unless you're doing main programming.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun discussion. And just roaming the halls and seeing cosplay is a lot of fun.
And I do know that they're doing another Women in Star Wars theme panel, which I think you and I are going to attempt to volunteer for again.
Yep, definitely.
Because I'll be the token male voice that agrees with everything you say.
Yep. And there's another convention that happens in the fall, New York Comic Con. And that's New York City, obviously, and it's becoming a really big convention. It's pretty much San Diego Comic-Con East, I would say. It's run by Reed, which is the same company that runs Celebration.
And Reed Pop is a great convention organizer.
And they've had Star Wars panels there before. I know they talked about Rebels last year.
Del Rey's often there.
Yeah, they announced Kenobi at New York Comic Con, actually.
Did they? I forgot about that. They did. They announced that one at New York Comic Con.
Yep. But that's also becoming a big one. A lot of cosplay there. More companies going there to make, have an official presence. And you know, in addition to those three cons, there's a lot of smaller conventions that are popping up everywhere. Look in your city or surrounding areas to see if there's a Comic Con there, because there very well might be.
If you're in Seattle, it's already passed this year, but Emerald City Comic Con has grown into a pretty big one. It happens in the spring, typically in April. And that's only happened recently. It blew up after I moved.
Yeah. So definitely go online and look to see if there's any conventions in your area. I definitely would recommend going to a smaller convention before going to one of the huge ones. Although it's kind of fun to just jump right in head first.
That's what I did.
Your first con was Dragon Con.
Yeah. Talk about a people crunch. Yeah.
Well, and also, like, going to Dragon Con is so weird because it's different from so many other conventions, because it's not in a convention center. It's in hotels.
Yeah, the convention is happening where you're sleeping.
Yeah, and it's very different with the fan tracks, because, like, usually a convention will have...
You'll have Lucasfilm doing their programming. You'll have Universal doing their programming.
But this has got, like, 40 different tracks going on at one time, which are all different interests, so... It's definitely a unique convention, but if you are going to a convention, you should read Bria's Conventions 101 article. We'll link to it in the show notes. But she's got some fun, interesting, very helpful hints. The first is to do your homework about the convention. Just go to their website. Look up stuff like...
Do I need to pre-purchase my badge?
Yeah, operating hours, where it is, what can you bring? Some conventions are stricter with costumes than others. You can see the panels. They might have a schedule online beforehand when you can see what panels you might like to do. And then also if there are any media guests like comic book artists or actors who will sign autographs and that sort of thing. So you can kind of do a strategizing beforehand and figure out what you want to do and what you want to see. As far as going to the con, I really like her first tip of dressing in layers. Because...
You will go from blazing hot to ice cold.
Yeah, I've been in cons where I've been sweating because it's so crowded, and then I've been in exhibit halls where they've been ice cold. So bring a jacket. bring stuff with you like a water bottle and drink often.
Do you think you've had enough water at a convention? No, you haven't. Yeah. You are incorrect.
You would probably want to bring a phone charger because you'll
probably... One of those external batteries is also nice to have.
Yes. Snacks, the convention's food is very expensive.
Do you think you've eaten enough? No, you haven't.
Yeah, so, you know, bring some snacks with you to munch on while you're in line, so you don't have to go spend $16 on a personal pizza. Obviously money, but some places don't take a card, so you
or
might want
to some places do, but the cell network is so jammed they can't use their Square readers.
Or they might give you a better deal if you give cash.
Because the Square readers charge a fee that they're just going to pass on to you.
Yeah. Trying to think of what else. Snacks. Water. Definitely a water bottle. Camera, if you have a separate camera from your phone. And just, you know, anything else you need to bring. Like, I like to bring a makeup bag with, like, Tylenol and that sort of thing in it. Hand sanitizer.
Do not catch the con plague. Yeah. Bring some hand sanitizer. Yeah. Wash your hands frequently.
Yeah, that's a big one. Wash your hands all the time. Like, if you go to the... Obviously, you should be washing your hands if you go to the bathroom anyway, but... Wash them longer than you might before you eat. Wash your hands. Because you will get crud.
If you've touched any one of the door handles at a convention, you definitely want to wash your hands.
Yes. Also, something to bring, you might want to bring a book or a Kindle.
Because you're going to queue.
Yeah, you're going to be in lines for a long time.
But you're Star Wars fans. You know how to queue.
Yeah. Or you're fans of anything. We know how to, you know. You can sit in the line, play on your phone, talk with people near you.
Yeah, if you're with a group, bring a card game. There's some great card games you can pick up off of Amazon. Yeah. One that I picked up that I'll probably bring along when we're in line for something is a fun, quick game called We Didn't Play Test This at All.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, you're going to be waiting in line, so you might as well get something out of it. Or, I mean, you can just nap. That works, too.
Because you're not going to get enough
sleep. Especially
when
you're at a convention like Dragon Con.
You're not
going to be sleeping. There like 4 days long, you know, by the second day, you're like, all right, don't talk to me. I want to sleep. most of all, be patient and be respectful. There are going to be long lines. There are going to be a lot of people. Don't be a jerk. You know, try to be nice to everyone. If you're going to a Q&A panel, don't ask embarrassing questions. Please do not try to embarrass the guests. That's not why they're there. Be cognizant of the panel that you're in.
And if you ask Timothy Zahn what he thought about Mara dying, everybody in the room will shoot you a death glare.
Because he's answered that question many, many times.
Here's the answer. He wasn't happy about it. Yeah. Don't ask it.
What do you think he's going to say? And then he's going to say what he always says, which is, it was their decision to make. He doesn't own Mara Jade. He's still writing Star Wars books, so there. But yeah, be cognizant of the panel you're at. Don't ask questions that are unrelated to the panel that you're at.
Like our aforementioned Battlefront questions. Yeah. Don't ask them.
Yes. And finally, there's going to be a lot of cosplayers around. It takes 2 seconds to go up to someone and say, hey, can I take your picture? And they'll most likely say yes, unless they're rushing off someplace. Don't touch their costume or touch them without consent. you know, I've taken pictures with people where, like, they've put their arm around me or I've put, you know, whatever. But you know, if there's a girl in a comic, you know, she's in a costume from a comic that is very little fabric, you might not want to put your arm around her just because that might be come off bad. So just don't touch people.
Especially now, if you violate space like that, you may get beat up at a con.
Yeah, cons have harassment policies and, you know, they will enforce them, which they should. But yeah, I mean, like, whenever I see people that are in costume, I'll usually ask for a photo if I'm walking by them. If I see someone at a distance, I might just snap a picture because it's not going to be a good picture anyway. But, you know, if you're milling about in a convention space, you can pretty much tell if a person is posing for photos. You don't need to ask for one because they're doing that to let everyone take pictures of them.
Yes, and if you try and take a picture of a costumer in a walkway, I will scream at you.
Everyone else will, too. So, like, for example, at Dragon Con, there's the Marriott atrium, which is where everyone goes and
that's
sees
the
pictures.
Designated yeah. Costume space.
So now, there is a, you know, a group of cosplayers that were dressed as Hogwarts founders, and they were just standing there, not moving, and everyone was taking pictures of them. That's a situation where you don't have to ask permission to take a picture because it's implied that they're posing. However, I was, you know, walking somewhere and I saw a woman dressed as Admiral Dalla. And I went up to her and I said, hi, can I take your picture? And she said, yes. Don't just randomly walk up to someone and take their picture if they're not actively posing. And you can tell when that happens because it's obvious.
It is very obvious.
Yeah. The groups will do that so they don't have to stop every 5 feet to take a picture. But yeah, be polite.
Just be courteous. Be decent.
I mean, it's fun. I don't know why you would not want to be decent.
But yes, and those are our convention tips.
Yeah, and also, a girl wearing a skimpy costume is not an excuse to
harass them and otherwise be a vile human being.
Yep. And also don't harass anyone.
Yep. Don't harass anyone. Don't do it.
Girls or boys.
Because I've yelled at people doing that at cons.
Yep.
I've reported people doing that at cons. I'm not going to say who, but I know people who have grabbed people by the scruff of their neck and hauled them away from the people they were harassing.
Uh-huh.
Don't do it.
Nope. Don't do it.
Don't do it. Well, that's it for the discussion topic this week, but we do have a question in Ask Us Anything. Uh-huh. I think we can answer quickly. Riley from the Star Wars Report, a very great podcast, asks us, what are your favorite convention moments?
I don't know. I mean, the Mark Hamill panels I always like just because I think he's hilarious. Him doing the Batman eulogy was pretty awesome.
Although apparently he got in trouble for that.
Yeah. I can't think of any specific moments off the top of my head other than that.
I know. Okay, go for it.
The Clone Wars panel at Celebration when George Lucas came out and as a surprise.
The Maker showed up.
Yeah, because I mean, I've seen him in person before at other panels when you are there just to see him, but we didn't know he was going to be there. And it was like, what? That was pretty awesome.
Yeah, the entire audience lost it.
Yes.
I think for me, it was doing the Women and Minorities panel at DragonCon last year.
So you have a much more thoughtful answer.
No, that was a lot of fun, and it was a real honor to be able to talk about that subject. And it was really neat to see how engaged the audience was. We nearly had the room packed, despite the fact that Billy Dee Williams was doing a panel concurrent to us.
And it was Sunday morning.
It was Sunday morning, peak Dragon, or... not exactly peak hours to get people out to the rooms. But yeah, it was a great engagement. We had a great panel. I do hope you and I can get on to the women panel again this year because we have more stuff we need to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So we'll make that pitch to Brandy in 2 weeks. I believe we have Brandy who runs the Star Wars at Dragon Con track. Who will be on the show in a couple of weeks with us to talk Dragon Con, talk the track, and make a pitch for why you should go, because it's not too late to get yourself into Dragon Con.
Indeed.
I definitely know what my most WTF-worthy moment at a convention was.
What was the...
when Kevin J. Anderson ripped his shirt off.
Oh, yeah.
That was a thing that happened.
Mm-hmm.
It was a masculinity in Star Wars panel.
It was.
And Kevin J. Anderson rips his shirt off.
He said, all right, let's get this masculinity panel started, and took his jacket off and was wearing a muscle shirt underneath.
Oh, that was a thing that happened, yes. All right, well, what do you say we wrap the show up there?
Sounds good to
me. All right, this episode of Tosche Station Radio has been brought to you in part by Her Universe and Audible.com. Check out the links on the blog, help keep the show running, and check out those cool new Marvel products that are available.
Yes.
On Twitter, you can find us with the handles at Tosche_Station. That's the official show account. You can find Nancy with at NancyPants. That's Nancy with an I. You can find me with at Lane Winry, LaneWinree. On Facebook, we're the Tosche Station Network. We are available on the iTunes Store and Stitcher. If you like what you hear, please do leave a review. Help us grow the show. You can find our columns and news at Tosche-Station.net. Thanks for listening to another episode. We will catch you all next time.
Bye.
So long. This podcast has been brought to you by Majestic Giraffe Productions and is the official podcast of TosheStation.net. All Star Wars names, music, and logos are property of their respective trademark and copyright holders. Tosche Station Radio is not endorsed by Lucasfilm or any division of the company. Now go pick up some power converters.